6, and excited to get into this Christmas season. This is the, I suppose, the 11th time that I have had the privilege to stand behind this sacred desk and preach a Christmas series. And I, you know, you'd think that as many times as we've gone through it, you'd think we would have exhausted it. But the truth is, we never will. There's so much rich truth surrounding this season, and I'm so thankful that Christ has come to save us. If you're thankful for that this morning, say amen. Got to prime the pump a little bit here, make sure y'all are still awake. And plenty of amens make the preacher go faster. I expected more, I'll be honest with you. Y'all know how I preach. But have you ever received something at Christmas that you didn't really want? I could go around the room and we could probably share some pretty comical stories about Christmas presents we've received that we don't really want. Last year in 2023, for example, out of all the Christmas presents that were given in America, over 15% of every Christmas present that was bought was brought back to the store in exchange for something else. And so if that says anything about your Christmas shopping there, okay, just do your best. If they don't like it, they'll take it back, okay? And so there's that. But the good news is, in America, if you receive something that you don't really like, you can usually take it back and exchange it for something else that you would rather have. And so during this Christmas season, in the same line of thought, God has placed it on my heart to challenge every one of you to make some spiritual gift exchanges. Some spiritual gift exchanges. All of us have been given some things in our lives that we don't really want. We don't really need. I'm talking about things like anger, depression, loneliness, guilt, anxiety, sorrow. All of us are dealt these types of things in life, and yet these are the types of things that none of us really want, but all of us tend to pick up every once in a while on our journey through life. And thankfully, God has made it possible for you to exchange these undesirable things in life for gifts that only He can give to you. I want you to listen to me this morning. If you will trust in Him, God can give you the ability to exchange your anxiety for peace. He can give you the ability to exchange your sorrow for joy. He can exchange your loneliness for His presence. He can exchange your depression or your despair with His hope. The Lord can do all of this for every single one of us in this room. Now, the truth is, all of us are struggling with something. All of us have some things in our life that we're battling with currently. And I'm going to challenge you from the Word of God throughout this season to make this spiritual gift exchange and to receive what it is that Jesus really came to bring to us during Christmas. It's one of the reasons we celebrate this season, and yet how often we get off track. And so the first truth that we're going to look at this morning, and I put this on the screen because I want you to see it, the first gift exchange, the big idea we're going to look at today, I want to challenge you to give God your stress and receive His peace. Can we say that out loud together? Give God your stress and receive His peace. Now, this is an important exchange that every single one of us need to make in our lives. Christmas is often referred to as the most wonderful time of the year. But the reality is, it's often the most stressful time of the year. And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. It reminds me of the story I heard about a lady who it was getting close to Christmas, and she still hadn't done anything for all of her friends, so she rushed down to the store and went to go purchase all of her friends some kind of Christmas card. And when she got to the store, she was in such a hurry that when she found a set of 50 cards with a beautiful cover on the front, she just bought them and went home and signed all of them, put the address on all of them, and just sent them out. Boy, breathed a sigh of relief. I got it done before Christmas. It might even get to their house before Christmas comes, she was thinking. And so Christmas came and Christmas went. A little while later, she was sitting there in her house, and there was two cards out of the 50 that she hadn't sent out, and so she actually took the time to open the card and look inside the card. And inside the card, there was this cute little rhyme that said, "This Christmas card is just to say a little gift is on its way." talk about stressful, okay? Now, all of us can relate to the stress that comes with this season, and it's more cultural than it is anything else. But these are stresses that we have on ourselves, from buying gifts to all the family and all the friends and all the people to going to all the Christmas parties and all the church events and all the school events, and the list goes on and on and on. And you add all these things together, and it makes it to where this can be a very, very stressful time of year. Like what someone said about this particular time of year, he observed that stressed, spelled backwards, is desserts. And that's why we eat so many desserts between Thanksgiving and New Year's. All right? That's why we put on so many pounds, because we're really struggling. And so that's a real thing that all of us go through, particularly during this time of year. And it's so easy. It's so easy to get caught up in all the activities and all the festivities surrounding this season that we lose sight of what it really is supposed to be all about. The purpose. We lose our peace in the process of going through the motions of all of these things. You know what? The first Christmas, after Christ was born, the initial message that the angels gave to a group of shepherds on the hillside was glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And I tell you, Jesus did not come into this earth to bring stress. Jesus came into this earth to bring us peace. That's why he came. And yet, how guilty we often are of embracing stress and not having any type of peace in our hearts during this great season. Jesus came to bring us peace. John 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus came to bring us peace, and yet the sad reality is, if you would look inside your own heart today, for many people, you don't have peace. You have stress. You have worry. You have anxiety. You have all of these things warring with you in your mind. And the exact thing that Jesus came to bring to you is not something that you possess today. Reminds me of the story I heard about an old Peanuts cartoon with Lucy and Charlie Brown. And Lucy said to Charlie Brown one day, she said, "I hate everything. I hate everybody. I hate the whole wide world." And Charlie Brown said, "But I thought you said you had inner peace." And Lucy said, "I do have inner peace, but I also have outer obnoxiousness." I think that many of you have a Lucy complex when it comes to how you're living your life. You say, "Oh, I'm at peace. I have God in my life." But you look at your life on the outside, and it doesn't really look like peace, what's actually going on in your life today. So let's ask the question, what is peace? Webster's 1828 dictionary has one of my favorite definitions of peace. It defines peace as the freedom from disturbance or agitation. The freedom from disturbance or agitation. And I tell you this, the truth is that you cannot have real peace, as is defined in the Bible, if all is not well with your soul. You cannot have true peace if all is not well with your soul. And so until you deal with the agitation or the disturbance, until you deal with the turmoil that is taking place within your soul, you will not know what it is to have peace as God intended for you to have it. And so let's ask the question, how can you have the peace that Jesus came to bring to us on that first Christmas? How can you possess that kind of peace in your heart today? And to understand what the Bible has to teach us about this, we're going to go to our text verse in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. And let's look at it again together. I want to read it out loud together. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. This is a prophecy that was given 700 years before Jesus ever even entered into this earth. And in this prophecy, I believe we have a key to how we can experience the peace that only Jesus can bring to us. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, if you're there, say amen. Let's read it out loud together. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace." The Messiah, the one that God promised 700 years plus before that he was going to come, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, God told us one of the names that he would wear is that he'd be the Prince of Peace. Jesus alone is the person who can bring true peace to your life today. Now listen, I'm not just talking to people who don't know Christ. I'm talking especially to those of you who do know Christ, and yet you still don't have peace. You've forgotten the source. It's Christ. Until you get reacquainted with Christ, you will not have the peace that only He can bring to your life. And so in this prophecy, God gives us three ways that you can find peace in Jesus today. And I want us to notice them together. Number one, if you're taking notes, I want you to note down that you can find peace in the promise of Jesus. Just note down there, you can find peace in the promise of Jesus. Now, in the first part of this verse, notice again what the prophet Isaiah told us. He said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Now, along with this prophecy, there are over 300 other prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And for hundreds of years, the world and the nation of Israel in particular had waited for the fulfillment of these promises that had been scattered all throughout the Old Testament scriptures. And I'm sure there were many moments when they felt like it was never going to actually happen. It was never going to actually be fulfilled. But when Jesus came, he fulfilled every single promise that God had made about the Messiah. I love thinking about how Jesus fulfilled prophecy. If you look down on your notes with me, we'll notice several particular things. First thing we see is in Isaiah 7:14, God had promised how Jesus would be born from a virgin. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Not only had God prophesied how Jesus would come, but he'd also prophesied where Jesus was going to be born. In a little town. I like small towns, amen? In a little town called Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." Another incredible thing we find in the Old Testament scriptures is that God had also prophesied why Jesus was going to be born. You see, Jesus was going to be born to save his people from their sins. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel repeated a prophecy from the Old Testament. And he said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." And read the last part of that out loud with me if you see it there. "For he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus, the promises concerning Jesus Christ, are something that we can hold on to bring us peace no matter what circumstance we may be going through in life. And so as we consider this promise given in Isaiah 9:6, notice a few things about it. First off, I want you to see that it is a personal promise. If you want to write that down next, it is a personal promise. Two times at the beginning of this verse, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." This is a personal promise. It is a promise given to every single one of us. Understand something. This promise was not just something that was given to the nation of Israel, but it is a promise that is given to every person, no matter their race or no matter what generation they live in. To you, Jesus Christ was given. To you, he was sent into this world. I love what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 39. It says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and thank God also to the Greeks or the rest of the nations." This promise is personal. I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ came for you. Jesus Christ has a promise for you to bring you peace in his word if you will trust in him today. It is a personal promise. But I want you to see another aspect of this promise. Also, I want you to see that it is a propitiatory promise. It is a propitiatory promise. Now, I'm often given a hard time. You say, Pastor, you use really hard words. I know. But you know what? I just can't get away from some of these old words. And I'd rather teach them to you than dumb them down, because these are good words. And these are important words. These are Bible words. Propitiation is the word in the New Testament. Now understand from our text, Jesus was born unto us so that he would be able to be given unto us. He was born unto us so that he would be able to be given unto us. The reason Jesus was born was to be given as a propitiation for all of our sins. Now, how many of you heard the word propitiation before? All right, many of you heard that word. You might not be able to define it off the top of your head, but it's an important Bible word. The word propitiation literally means a satisfactory payment. So if you want to write that down in your notes, then you'll know what propitiatory means. A satisfactory payment. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10 speaks of it when it says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Propitiation. Jesus was given to be the satisfactory payment for our sins. I heard the story of a young lady who was quite the speedster. And she was going through a town in California where they really cracked down on speeding. This was years and years ago. And as she drove through this particular town, this was the unique situation of this town is that they kept their courthouse open 24/7 to prosecute people who sped through their town. It was actually a way to make revenue for their town. This is a true story. And so this young lady was driving through this town, and she was speeding. She got pulled over, and she got booked and taken immediately to the courthouse. And while she was there, the judge asked her, "Young lady, were you speeding?" And she admitted that she was guilty, that she had been speeding. And so he said, "Well, your consequence is that you are either going to have to pay a $100 fine or you're going to have to spend 6 hours in our jail." And he banged the gavel, and the sentence was given. Then the judge did something that no one expected. The judge stepped back from his seat. He took off his robes, and he walked down to that young lady, and he took out his wallet, and he gave her a $100 bill. And he says, "You're free to go. Your debt has been paid." Now, that young lady was his daughter, by the way. I love that story. Because in a much broader way, in a much more powerful way, that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. You see, you owed a debt you could not pay. The debt that you owed was because of your sin. The truth is, no person in this world can have peace without God. The Bible says in Isaiah 57, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." The truth is, the reason why most people without the Lord do not have peace is because they have wickedness in their soul. They're sinners. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of our sin, we are deemed guilty before a holy God in heaven. And we don't deserve to be rewarded for the wrong things we've done. We deserve to be punished for the wrong things we've done. Romans 6:23 says the wages, the penalty of sin is death. We deserve to die and be punished forever in a Christless place called hell. That's what all of us deserve for the wrong things that we've done. But thank God. The reason we celebrate Christmas is because God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to pay the debt for us that we could not pay for ourselves. Understand, the only way you're paying for your sins is by going to hell forever. But Jesus Christ and God the Father love you too much, and so God sent his Son into this earth to sacrifice himself in your place for your sins. I want you to look in your notes at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "And he," Jesus, "is the propitiation," or the satisfactory payment for our sins, "and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Listen, Jesus died on the cross to satisfy God's just demands for your sins to be punished. Jesus was punished in your place for your sins. And the Bible says that after he died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again by his own power. And now he's alive today, and he is able to give the gift of salvation to anyone who will receive it from him. Hebrews 7 verse 25 says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. God is able to save you through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is a propitiation for you. He is the satisfactory payment for every single wrong thing that you have ever done or will ever do. And I tell you this, this is incredible. The moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll experience something you've never experienced in your life. And that is peace with God in your soul. Look at Romans chapter number 5 and verse 1 in your notes. It says, therefore, being justified by faith or declared righteous, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, through what Jesus has done, he alone is the one who can bring peace in your life with your God. There have been many of you, your whole life long, you felt estranged from God. You felt like God was upset with you. You felt like, well, I got to try to work really hard to make God like me, to make God okay with me, and maybe one day I'll make it up to heaven someday. That's not what the Bible teaches. You can live your whole life and try to be a good person, and you'll never make it because you're still a sinner. The only way you can have peace with God is when you finally come to the end of yourself and say, I'll never be good enough, God. I'm a sinner. I need what Jesus has done for me. And you trust in Jesus Christ and him alone as your Savior. And the moment you do that, you put your faith in what Christ has done for you, you will have a peace in your soul that you have never experienced before. Listen, religion won't give you peace. As fun as the holidays are, they won't give you the peace you're looking for. None of the other things that you could find in this world could ever satisfy that thing that's missing from your soul, that peace. Only Jesus can bring it to you. And your journey of finding peace begins when you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And yet can I say that the peace that Jesus brings to your life, it doesn't end here. It only begins here. It only begins when you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see, even for those of us that have trusted Christ, as you learn to trust more and more in the promises of God's word, Jesus will bring you to greater degrees of peace within your soul. Psalm 119 and 165 says, great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The more that you trust in the law of God, in the word of God, the more peace that you can experience in your soul. I like what Adrian Rogers used to say about this. He said there are four types of peace that only Christ can bring to your life. I believe these are in your notes. Four types of peace, what are they? Well, the first we've already seen, it's peace with God. You can have peace with God only through trusting in Christ as your Savior. The second is the peace of God. See, once you trust in Jesus after you're saved, he gives you the peace of God in every situation of your life. A peace that doesn't even make sense. It passes understanding. Even through life's difficulties and trials, you can still have peace because you have God. That's the peace of God. Here's the third type of peace. He can also give you peace within as you learn who you are in Christ. So many of you, the reason why you don't have peace is because you're struggling with the failures of your past, the issues of your past. You know, once you come to know Christ as your Savior, he makes you a new man. He makes you a new woman. And he can bring peace within your life, even with your past. Peace with yourself. That's a thing a lot of people struggle with. Here's the fourth type of peace, and that is peace with others. Now, the holidays can do a lot to reveal how we're doing with others. Family gatherings, whether or not you actually get together with those friends again, can reveal a lot about your relationship to others. The Bible says in Proverbs that when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And God can bring you peace with other people who are in your life as well. Only God can do this. The truth is, if you want to have the peace Jesus came to bring to us, the first place you need to look is in the promise of Jesus. Now let's look at the second place, and that is this. I want you to notice number two, the power of Jesus. First, the promise of Jesus. Number two, the power of Jesus. You look with me again in Isaiah chapter 9. The verse goes on to say that the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now jump down to verse 7 with me. Because verse 7 tells us a little bit more about this government. It says in verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You know, what this verse begins to reveal to us is that the power of Jesus to rule. The Bible clearly teaches us here that this Messiah who was going to be born, Jesus, would be given the authority of governing the world forever. Now that's a powerful truth, and that's an encouraging truth for us today. God foretold long before it ever came to pass that when the Messiah came, he would be given the authority from God to rule the world forever. Now, the Bible tells us that God is the true sovereign of the whole universe. If you look in your notes at Psalm 103 and verse number 19, it says, "The Lord, Jehovah, hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all." We know that God is the one who's in control of this world. And yet later in the New Testament, there are several truths that God reveals to us to make clear that God is going to make Jesus, his son, the one who has the authority to rule the nations forever. In Revelation chapter number 11 and verse 15, I love this. Look down at this with me. It says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ." And let's read the last part out loud together. "And he shall reign forever and ever." How many are thankful Jesus is going to reign forever and ever? See, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9 that God has given Jesus a name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You better mark it down. There's going to come a day even when those who deny that Jesus was real and who deny that he is Lord and who deny that he is Savior, even they will bow the knee one day to confess. Yes, Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God has given Jesus the authority. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth." Jesus has it all. When it comes to power, Jesus is the one who is in control. Now, every election year, it's sad for me to watch how many people base their peace on who gets into the White House. Or who gets into Congress. And so inevitably what happens is when a Democrat wins, all the Republicans are sad and saying the world's coming to an end. And when a Republican wins, it's vice versa. And we have these cycles, it seems like, every single year, but certainly every 4 years this takes place. And people are basing their peace on who's in authority in our nation. Reminds me of the story I heard about a father who was reading his magazine one day, and he was interrupted by his little girl as he was trying to read this magazine, and she wanted to know what the United States looked like. So he was reading that magazine and not really wanting to part with it, but he had read a page that had a map of the United States on it with all the states. So he went back to that page and he ripped it out, and he ripped apart every single state, and he handed her all the states. And he said, "If you put all these together in the right way, you'll get a picture of what our nation looks like." And he thought, that'll keep her busy for a while. Well, a few moments later, she came back. And it was all taped together. And it was all put together in the proper order. And he thought, how in the world did my little girl do this? And so he asked her about it. And she said, "Oh, that was really easy. On the back of it, there's a picture of Jesus. And once I got Jesus back how he was supposed to be, our country just came together." And he shared that story, and I thought, well, out of the mouth of babes, okay? Once we get Jesus back where he's supposed to be, everything else will take care of itself. It's an encouraging truth for us to understand that no matter what's going on down here in the affairs of men, there is a God in heaven who reigns over all. There is our Savior Jesus Christ who sits on heaven's highest throne. One of our founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin, he said, "I have lived, sir, a long time, And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. I'm thankful God governs in the affairs of men. There's great peace to be found in the fact that God is in control. Some of you, with how much you're struggling in your spirit today, you need to remind yourself, God is in control. I don't have to carry the weight of the world on my shoulder. God's got this. God's going to take care of this. And it all works out in the end. I've read the back of the book and we win. Amen? And so thank God he's in control. John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I have overcome the world. You know where you can find peace this Christmas? In the promise of Christ. In the power of Christ. And here's the third way you can find peace. And that is in the presence of Christ. In the presence of Christ. Now look down at our text verse one more time before we're done. In this prophecy, God told us exactly who the coming Messiah was going to be. In verse number 6, it goes on to say, "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." And we don't have time to delve into all the rich truth we could learn from all of these names. The Bible says he's wonderful. It means he's marvelous. He's more than what we could ever comprehend. That's how awesome our God is. He is Counselor. He's the greatest guide and advisor that you could ever have in your life. He's a wonderful Counselor. He's the Mighty God. That means he's omnipotent. He can do anything that he wants to. Nothing's too hard for God. It says he's the Everlasting Father. Interesting to me, a symbol from the Scripture that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. The Son, the Messiah, is also called the Father because they're one. Jesus is God revealed to us in the flesh, and as a Father, he cares about you today. All of these are beautiful truths, but our mind is primarily set on that last name that Jesus is given in this verse, and that is called the Prince of Peace. See, the very character of who Jesus is peace. That's a part of who he is. Now, if I spend time with a hard-working man, then I'll tend to call him a diligent person. If I spend time with a man who is smart, well, then I'll call him an intelligent man. If I spend time with a person who is giving, then I'll call them a generous person. Why? Well, because every man is defined by what he does with his life. You know what Jesus is defined by? Peace. You spend time with Jesus, guess what you're going to get? Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Now think about that with me. A prince. Prince speaks of a ruler. It speaks of someone who has authority. I want you to understand that Jesus is not just characterized by peace, but he is literally in control of peace today. In other words, if you're seeking peace from anyone else but him, you won't find it because Jesus is the one who is in charge of who has peace and who doesn't have peace. And he has already prescribed the only way that you can experience peace is by coming to him and finding it in him. That's the only way you're going to find it. Jesus is the one who is in control of peace. So to know Jesus is to know true peace in your heart. Years ago, a journalist was assigned to Jerusalem, and she found an apartment to live in while she was there doing her coverage that overlooked the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. How many of you heard that before? The Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, very prominent thing there. Where every day she would look out of her window, and she noticed in particular the same Jewish man that came every day, twice a day, to pray. And it just really spoke to her. And so she couldn't help herself. She was a journalist. And so one day she left her apartment. She went down and she went to go talk to this man that had so impressed her heart. And she said, "You come here every day to the wall. How long have you been doing this? And what do you pray for when you come?" And Jewish man happily obliged to talk with her, and he said, "I've been coming here to pray every day for 25 years, twice a day. He said, in the morning, I come and I pray for world peace. And I go home and have a cup of tea. And I come back in the afternoon and I pray for the eradication of illness and disease from the world. And the journalist was just amazed. And so she sincerely asked him this question. She said, how does it make you feel to come here every day for 25 years and to pray for these things? And the Jewish man sadly looked at her and said, like I'm praying to a wall. You know, the truth is, that man was trying to find peace in a place it cannot be found. And I tell you, you won't find peace at a wailing wall, a wishing well, or anything else that you're trying to seek for it from in life other than Christ. Because the only place you can find true peace is when you enter into the presence of Christ. And I think this is so interesting. And I am so guilty of this often. And I'm sure many of you are like this with me. As human beings, even as Christians, we know that we're supposed to go to Christ, right? We know it here, but sometimes we forget it here. And so we allow all the burdens and pressures and stress of life to build. In our heart of hearts, we know, I need to pray. I need to give this to God. But it's just so much easier sometimes, we think, to just carry it all ourselves, isn't it? Hey, am I the only one that does this? And so we let the pressures and the stresses and the burdens of life build and build and build and build. And it's almost like a balloon. I'm not going to do this because I got in trouble last time I did this totally. All right? You can imagine a balloon, all right? If I can blow this thing up. All right? Now, if I kept blowing this thing up, I did this last time. I blew it up all the way last time. And I let it pop. And some of you about left the church over it. So I'm not going to do that again, okay? We let the pressures of life continue to expand and continue to build and continue to build and build and build until all of a sudden it becomes too much. And then it does pop and it does explode and it results in a divorce and it results in bankruptcy and it results in all kinds of devastation and ruin in our lives and in the lives of those around us. When all the while, if we had done what the Bible prescribes for us to do, if we would go to the person who could bring us peace in the midst of our trials, our story could be different, all right? So I already blew this one up because I'm already out of breath because I'm preaching, okay? But if we go to the source, and instead of trying to carry all those things and allowing them to continue to grow and expand in our life, if we would come to the Lord and begin to hand them off to the Lord, hey, He can take all the burdens. He can take everything that is weighing you down, the financial struggle, the relational struggle, everything that is stressing your life out. The Lord can take every single bit of it if you just come into His presence and give it to Him. He can carry all of it. And you can be relieved of that burden. You don't have to carry it on your own anymore. Look in your notes at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, be careful or worried for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The psalmist said in Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. No matter what kind of dark valley you may be walking through today, no matter what pressures you may be carrying in your life, no matter what those things may be, you understand that God is with you. You can have peace even in the midst of the most terrible of circumstances. Every time you come in the presence of Jesus, every time you come in the presence of Jesus, you will find peace. Because that's just a part of who He is. It's the fruit of spending time walking in the Spirit of God. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and what, church?
Peace.
It's a fruit of spending time with the Lord. It's a result. You get His peace. So I say to you that Jesus has come into this world to bring us peace. One more illustration and I'm done. This is probably my favorite story. One of the best examples, I think, from history of someone who experienced the peace that we're talking about this morning. In the autumn of 1873, a man by the name of Horatio Spafford was a very wealthy Chicago businessman. He placed his wife and his four daughters on a ship sailing from New York to France. And he had to stay behind because he had some business in Chicago he needed to take care of before he would take the trip to go join his family in France for the upcoming holiday. On the evening of November 21st, the ship his wife and children were on was struck in the middle of the night by another vessel. Anna, his wife, in the chaos that ensued, watched three of her children be swept away by the water. Nothing she could do. The youngest of her children, she clung to with all of her might while the water swirled. But in all the turmoil that was going on, she could not hang on. She did everything she could, but she could not hang on. And a big wave came in, swept her youngest child away. And she said that the last thing she remembered before she went unconscious was grabbing the gown of her youngest child. And it slipping from her fingers. She couldn't hang on. And then very soon she was unconscious and she remembered nothing else. Soon after, she woke up from her unconscious state, discovering that she had been rescued by some kind sailors. Her life had been spared. But all four of her daughters had perished in those waters. Her husband, back in Chicago, desperately waited to hear the news of what had happened to his family. This was before the time when we could communicate easily. And finally, after some time had passed, the telegram came from his wife, just two words that she sent, "Saved alone." And his heart sank. As a father of four daughters, I cannot imagine what he went through. I cannot imagine what she went through. Saved alone. And through his tears and his grief, he sat that night with one of his dear friends, a man by the name of Major Whittle. And Major Whittle said that he spoke these words. He said, "I'm glad to trust the Lord when it will actually cost me something." And it did cost him something in the midst of that trial. Soon after, he boarded a ship to cross the Atlantic and to join his wife. The story is told that when that ship approached those waters where the ship had gone down and his four daughters had lost their life, the captain of the ship stopped the ship that he was on and informed all the passengers that this was the location where all their loved ones had perished. And in that moment, he sat in his cabin, and as he told the story, he was inspired to write the words to the song we still sing to this day. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul." I ask you, is it well with your soul today? Is it well with your soul? Because if it isn't, the Lord Jesus wants you to bring whatever it is that is keeping you from having peace in your life, that broken relationship, that stress at work, that issue in your life that is keeping you from having His peace. He wants you to come and exchange it for the peace that only He can bring to your soul today. And even through life's most terrible tragedies, you can have that peace when you have Jesus. When you trust in the promise of Jesus, when you trust in the power of Jesus, and when you come into the presence of Jesus, you can have that peace. I leave you with the words of Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusts in thee." If you trust in him, he'll give you peace. Let's bow our heads together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. With no one looking around, I want to ask you a few questions and ask you to consider what we've heard from the scriptures today. Listen, we don't preach just for the sake of learning new truth. The reason why we share God's word is so our hearts will be convicted by the Spirit of God and we can make decisions that will change our lives for good. So I ask you a few questions, and I want you to answer honestly this morning. How many of you would say this morning, Pastor, I've got some stress. I've got some things in my life that are robbing me of my peace. And today, I need to make the decision to come to Jesus and exchange my stress for His peace. You say, Pastor, God's spoken to my heart about that today. Would you lift your hand if that is your testimony today? Thank you for your honesty. Many hands, you can put your hands back down. Now, here's my second question for you today, and I again ask you to just answer honestly from your heart this morning. How many of you would say this morning, Pastor Bruce, I need to make peace with God. I don't have peace with God in my soul. If I were to die today, I don't know if I would be with God. I'm not sure if everything's okay with me and God. I'm not sure that my sins are forgiven. I need to make peace with God in my life. And God has spoken to me about that today. If that's you, would you raise your hand so I could pray for you? Pastor Bruce, that's me. I'm not sure that I have peace with God. If I were to die today, I'm not sure that I would go to heaven. Will you please pray for me? Very good. And with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to invite you to stand with me right now.